You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
I'm going to share very briefly today because the hour is late and I just have a really simple message. I want to close out our time here in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. The proposition of the word of God is that if all the believers in the world are filled with the Spirit of God, practicing what we've been taught, actually doing the stuff, not just knowing it in the mind, but actually doing the stuff, cultivating the kingdom of heaven on the inside by very simple things like actually making it real, not just talking about it, not just, you know, talking about what's out there, but just living the simple Christian life. My favorite thing about Jesus is how he took the thing that all the teachers of his day made everything so complicated, and he made it so simple again. Just walk with me. Just let me be your shepherd. Just stay by. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to consider, you know, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to do that? What's God going to do about this? When you turn around and look at your past, oh, how's God going to fix that mess? How's going to, you know, all of this? We don't have to figure any of it out. But just say, today is the day that the Lord's made. Let's just rejoice in it. Let's be glad in it. Let's walk with the King day by day, moment by moment. And at every opportunity, I don't know about you, but the thing I'm most grateful for about what Jesus did is that he made us his temple. You don't have to wait and go someplace. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning to be in a church service. You don't have to wait for somebody to exhort. We have instant access to the very presence of God 24/7, 365, and on leap year. So this simple little thing that almost seems like an afterthought in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said, you know, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will? It all starts right here. A people who can actually always be in an attitude of rejoicing, even when it doesn't seem like there's something to rejoice about. How many of you know anybody can rejoice after you just saw the winning goal happen, after you just saw something amazing, after God came through and answered that thing you've been waiting on? Anybody, any pagan can rejoice in those times. But only the people of God, those crazy, upside down, peculiar people. I love the King James translation on that. The peculiar people of God can see through circumstance into the hand of God in everything and therefore be able to rejoice all the time. All the time. Pray without ceasing, meaning living a lifestyle of constant communion with God, that at any moment, if things begin to get crazy, things begin to get painful, anger starts rising up, fear, anxiety, whatever starts to rise up in our spirit, we can literally pull ourselves out into the temple of God, which is inside of us, and pray and connect with our God, that he's able to change our attitude about every and any situation at any time, give us a word in due season. Like the prophet said, the Holy Spirit's a genius. He has the solution. Graham Cook, he has the solution for every problem that we face if we ask. If we pause for a moment and just say, I'm going to pray right now. I don't need to get in my prayer closet. I don't have to wait for my devotional time in the morning. I can right now say, I need wisdom from God in this situation. We pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. I just want to share just a few thoughts about that. It says giving thanks in everything. It doesn't mean being thankful for everything. I'm not thankful for COVID. It's not. I'm not thankful for disease. I'm not thankful for death. I'm not thankful for poverty. I'm not thankful for all the other things that bring pain and anxiety, because those things don't come from God. Only every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything else is from another kingdom that we want nothing to do with. I'm not thankful. We're not thankful for those things. I mean, there's a sweet testimony. Have you ever heard Corrie Ten Boom's sister's testimony? What's her name? Betsy, thank you. Betsy Ten Boom, Corey's younger sister. They were in a concentration camp together, and all the women were crammed together like they did in those, you know, I mean, you're sleeping like sardines and that, and they had lice all over this room. So they're getting chewed up by lice 24/7. I mean, it was horrific. The smells, you know, sleeping in your own filth, all of this in that, and the conditions were just terrible. And Corrie Ten Boom's sister, I just blanked again, Betsy. Betsy was her encouragement through it all. Betsy actually encouraged her sister Corey, whose name we know. and said, you know, God said in everything, give thanks. So God, thank you for these lice. And Corey said, well, thank you for the lice. What? I'm not thankful for these lice. And then it occurred to them a few weeks later that the men didn't come into the women's dorm and have their way with them because they didn't want to get the lice. So that would be a great example of thanking God for everything. You want to, that's awesome if you could do that. But that's not what the scripture's really after with this. In everything, give thanks. So in other words, no matter what the circumstances are, find a way to get your heart into a place of thankfulness toward God. When we can remain thankful, when everything around us is falling apart, when circumstances aren't where usually somebody gives you something, you say, thank you for that, right? You go, you get your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, they hand it to you, you say, thank you. You do, right? Come on, that's a hard job. It really is. People are so rude. That driver, you've seen some of the viral videos, right? Of people when they get the order wrong. How about at Starbucks, man? You only put 3 triple shots of mocha, espresso, mappuccino, whatever stuff in it. And they're like, I didn't ask for that. And they're rude. People are rude to people who serve. It's wrong. So that was a little bit of a soapboxy rant kind of thing there. But we say thank you when we get something. That's our culture. That's what we've become accustomed to. But spiritual people give thanks all the time. Spiritual people are always aware of the unveil. We sang, man, there was a line in that song we just sang about how now I get it. Now I understand why the elders throw their crowns down at your feet. Now that I can see you in your glory, now I get it. Now that I see what they can see, man, everything's yours. Thank you. Everything's yours. And when we live in that place, when we get to live our lives in that realm where we're always gazing on the Lord, thankfulness is the immediate response. So when we can remain thankful, even when the answer is delayed, even when we're not quite seeing what we're waiting for yet, you just haven't seen it yet, like the song goes, that's the mark of somebody who's walking with God, that we can still find, as we teach our kids, an attitude of gratitude, that in the middle of all those things. So what we often do is we fixate on the problems. We think about them. We meditate on them night and day. We think about that offense. We think about that problem that's going on, that issue at work. We think about the disaster that our mind has tricked us into having faith for. Do you know fear is just having faith that things are going to turn out in a disastrous way? It's just another form of faith. We're all people of faith. Everybody alive are people of faith, atheists and believers alike. It's just the question of what do you have faith in? What's faith? Faith is believing something that you can't yet see with your eyes is going to come to pass. That's what faith is. So fear is a faith-based response to the worst outcome. I think the worst, the disaster is about to happen. I have faith that disaster is going to happen. What does that do to your heart? What does that do to our hearts when we think the worst case scenario is going to turn out? It's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. Whatever we meditate on, whatever we fixate on, whatever we keep staring at, whatever we think about, talk about, ruminate about, it's a form of worship. And when we allow ourselves to get stuck, none of us can help those moments, right? When something comes our way, when something, you know, there might be something that rises up, there's something that happens to us or something that's going on around us and it produces an emotion. None of us can do anything about the emotion rising up. That's part of being made in the image of God. God is an emotional being. There's not a single emotion that humans feel that you can't find in the scriptures how God feels that way. The difference between us and God is that he just doesn't behave his emotions all the time. We don't have to stay in that place of anger. We can choose to say, I'm angry about what I just saw, but now I'm going to sit in heavenly places about this till my attitude is okay about that. That thing that hurt my heart, that broke my heart, I could go into depression about it. I could go into, you know, a deep grief about it and stay in that place. How many of you know when you lose something you love, you can't help but feel grief? In fact, if you try to prevent yourself from feeling grief, you're going to hurt yourself. Grief is a natural response to losing something that we love. But how many of you know that at some point weeping can endure for a night? But man, you got to get to where joy comes in the morning. Or it becomes a disaster. So when we fixate our minds, when we just meditate on the problem or on the issue, we're worshiping it and we're magnifying it. Remember how David said, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Like Todd so well said about how do you dress up God? He's as beautiful gets. But we get to adorn him with those things. How can you magnify God? He's as big gets. The universe isn't big enough to contain him. How do we make him bigger? Well, what it means is I'm going to see God in a way that he is larger than life. I'm going to look at God. I'm going to choose to fix my gaze on God until I remember who he is, until I remember that he is the all-powerful, all-wise God. And he set his eye on me, his son. He's watching me, his daughter. He's never left me. He's never forgotten me. In the middle of it, feels like he abandoned me, but he never. He promised he would never leave and never forsake, and he doesn't break his promises. So I'm going to keep magnifying the Lord until that's all I can see. And then I'm going to see everything I'm facing through that love, through his power, through his desired outcome. That's what it means to magnify things. So when we fixate on a problem, we end up magnifying them. We worship them rather than God. So come with me to Psalm 62. I'm going to aim to wrap up at 12 o'clock. That's a promise, and I'm watching the clock. I'm going to do that because I love you. And I think I could say it in that much time. So here's Psalm 42. This was written by the sons of Korah. They were a group of priests who led worship at the tabernacle of David and wrote songs that continued on through the days of the temple and beyond. So some of these psalms were written out of an intense experience. Some of them were written during days of exile. This was a tribe literally 100% devoted to worship. And that's all they did. And boy, did they have wisdom from God because they lived in that heavenly place. And there's some nuggets everywhere. But this is one of those things. You know how it's easy to be thankful, as I said, when things are going well, after the answer comes, we can say thank you for it. This is a psalm to help us remember how to get and learn how to get into an attitude of thankfulness before the answers come, while the problem is still staring us in the face, while the mountain hasn't been moved yet, while the sea still hasn't parted. This is how to stay in that attitude. And they wrote this out of a very painful experience. We don't know what it was. But it opens up in one of the most famous lines in all the Psalms. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. You can picture a deer who's got a hunter. Right? And a deer is right in the hunter's sights. And that deer is running for his life through the woods. And eventually it's getting thirsty because it's running away. That's the picture of the psalm. Being pursued by someone who has all intention on killing that deer and eating it. Don't worry, this isn't Bambi, you know. Hunting's fine. I like venison, right? Don't hear what I'm not. But the deer, from the deer's perspective, I am running for my life. And I'm so thirsty, I'm going to pass out if I don't get a drink. That's the desperation of soul that this guy is experiencing who wrote this song. I am desperate. There is a situation going on in my life that's made me so desperate that if I don't touch God right now, I feel like my whole life's going to fall apart. I feel like my heart's going to fall right out of my chest if I don't grab hold of a living God right now. Anybody ever feel like that? Only two people? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a really good question. That's a really good question. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, in this guy's case, the one who wrote this song, it may have been because he couldn't get to the temple to worship. Because in that day, there was a place where you worshiped God. Either the tabernacle of David or the temple of Solomon. You worshiped at that place. Maybe he was away in exile, or maybe for some reason he physically couldn't get there. But in our case, we're never far from the temple of God. You can never get stuck in traffic on the way to the temple today because it's in here. You're never far from, we're never far from God's temple at this point. There's no, I got to find my way to get there. It's a simple matter of stopping for a minute. Going inside for a moment. This is what, when Jesus said, you know, when you pray, go and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. He didn't mean literally that the only time you can pray is when you can find a room somewhere where you shut the door. But go inside your heart for a minute. Talk to the Father out of the deepest place in your being. Connect with God, not just in your mind, Not even just with your heart, but in your soul. The Hebrew words for heart and soul are a little bit different. And when we talk soul, we mean either your whole being or your gut. You know how we use the expression in English, I hate your guts? It means I hate you to the core of your being. It's a horrible term. How about I love your guts? It's a little nasty picture. I love your guts. Not what's in them, but I love your guts. The gut. So we connect with God from our gut. You know the butterflies you feel when you feel anxious? That's why they said it's like in the gut. It comes from a deeper place. You know, your heart pounds sometimes, right? When you see the girl for the first time, your heart pounds. And you worry that, you know, my ears always got red. You know, it was just, I couldn't hide anything. So your heart's pounding, right? And that's one level of it. But man, when you start feeling it in your gut, it means your whole being is involved in this thing. Everything about you, the entirety of who you are. So when shall I come and appear before God? Right now. How about right now? How about we answer that rhetorical question? Like right now, I need to appear before God. And I don't have to go far to find him. He's right in the temple. He's sitting in his temple. My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day, where is your God? My tears have been my food. This is one who's meditating on the problems, right? Oh, I've been so sorry that day and night, that's all I could think about. All I can do is cry over this situation. My anguish of soul, my tears of whatever it is that we're crying over, the night and day, that's all there is. And again, that we start in that place. We start in a place of getting honest enough before God to say, you know, I've got this thing and it is killing me. My soul is in anguish right now. And all they say all day long is, where is your God? Now, I don't know if any of us has ever been in a situation where people are actually saying, yeah, where's your God now? What's your God going to do to save you? David had those kind of situations like that. But how many of you have been in that place where the voice is in your head, where is your God? The principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness. Oh, you're a son of God? Where is he now? How long are you going to have to wait for that answer? Oh, you think God's going to come through? It's been 12 years now. Maybe you should just find another way. Maybe you should walk another path. Maybe what's the point of waiting for God right now? Those are those voices day and night. When's God? Where's your God? So he can come through for you. It's the taunting of the evil one whose game is only one thing. Separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's all the enemy needs to do. Just separate the people of God from the love of God in Christ. And they'll be in a tailspin. Doesn't matter which way they go from there. If they're not walking together with the Father in communion, in this love communion, he's got them. Where is your God, they say. So these things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. Sometimes the key to being able to get back into a thankful posture before God is to pour something out of our heart. And it says, you know, I pour out my soul within me. How many know that it's good to have friends to talk to, right? It's good to be able to pour your heart out, to have those kind of friends. You could take your verbal censor off and just share everything going on. And we've got to have friends like that. All of us need friends like that. But we can't replace God with those friends. Don't ever do that to your friends. They are never going to satisfy the way that God does when we pour out our soul within me. In order to be thankful, sometimes we got to pour out some other junk so that we could get refilled with thankfulness. So we learn how to pour out our heart, learn how to express to God what's going on. I'll show you in a moment that the guy does this, and I got to hurry up because I got 5 minutes. He said, I used to go along with the throng. I used to lead them to the house of God with the voice of joy and with the voice of thanksgiving. I used to, but I'm not now. I used to go with them. Why am I not going now? Remember, I think I shared this with you, that one of the first ways of knowing that we're pulling away from God is that we pull away from his people. We pull away from our friends. We pull away from especially those annoying people who say, I'm praying for you. You know I'm being facetious with that, right? We pull away from those people because right now I'm angry with God and I'm throwing my temper tantrum. I don't want to talk to him right now. And so I don't want to see you because I don't want to talk to him. So don't get offended when somebody pushes you away like that. It's not you. that they're avoiding. It's Christ in you. So out of love, keep pursuing. Out of love, keep the door open. Out of love, prayerfully see how you can get back in that place. So when we can pour out our complaint like that, we get back to that place of thanksgiving. Verse 5, why are you in despair, O my soul? Here we go, talking to himself again. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. Nothing at all. Put your earbuds in if you don't want people to think you're crazy. To think you're on the phone. It's fine. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Now he's going to have an argument inside himself because this guy is recognized. Now he's thinking about the Lord. He's focusing on the Lord. He's like, hold on a second. Hold a phone. Why am I feeling this way on the inside when I have a magnificent God like that right before me? Soul, magnify the Lord. Take your attitude and let's change it. Why are you disturbed within me? No, instead of that, hope in God. For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. I shall again praise him. This is that word yada again. There we go. Not yada, 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 but yada. And it literally, this is the picture of the word. It's this. I'm giving you thanks. I will yet thank him. Why? For the help of his presence. Not because he changed the circumstances yet, but he's here with me. He's right beside me in the middle of this. If I'm crying, he's crying harder. If I'm anxious about it, he's showing me the way out. He's got revelation waiting for me. He's right there with me. I'll praise him. I can thank him right now. If nothing else, we can thank him for his presence. We can thank him that he is with us regardless of anything going on in the natural realm. He never once has broken his promise of his presence. His presence is always there with us. The only obstacle ever to the presence of God is found inside of us. And our belief about, will he be there for me? Does he even care? I don't get this stuff out of air. I've been there too. There's moments that it's like, man, I've been waiting so long. This thing, this promise just seems to be falling apart. I thought I did this out of love for you. I was serving you. And look what happened. And in those moments, we don't grab hold of God and remember, ours is a promise-keeping God. He is with me in this thing. Though I walk through even the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. No, I will not fear because you're with me. Because you're with me. Long as you're with me in this, it's all going to be okay. I've had testimony after testimony. Many of you have the same, where the things didn't change. Nothing changed as far as tomorrow or the day's circumstances, but just a reassurance, I'm with you in this. I love you. I care about you. I am with you in this was all my heart needed to know. Now all of a sudden, you ever get that? I don't need answers anymore. I don't need you to tell me why I'm going through this. I don't need you to show me what's going to happen next. I'm ready to take the next step because I'm arm in arm with you through this thing. And I trust you, good shepherd. I trust you to lead me through this valley of the shadow of death. And on the other side, there's going to be green pastures to lie down in yet again. That's living. That's the Christian life. Can I go for 12 o'clock middle or central time? Can I have a few more minutes? Raise your hand if I can have like 5 more minutes. All right, there, 5, 10, 15, 20. See, that's a cheesy preacher trick I just got you with. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. This is what it looks like to pour out our heart to God. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, since I'm feeling this thing, I remember you. Why? In the land of the Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar. The Jordan is the place of testimony. That's where we come across into new life. I'll remember you from that place because you took me out of darkness and you brought me into life. I can thank you for that. I have life and that more abundantly. Surely your goodness and loving kindness following me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in your house forever. You took me over the Jordan. I will never forget that. I'll put that testimony in front of my face right now. You didn't forsake me then, and you're not going to forsake me now. I'll remember you from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the 9,000-foot mountain at the northern edge of Israel. The dew on that mountain and the melting snow provides all the Jordan River's waters, and it waters the land. I'm going to remember that you have taken care of me time and time again. You've been there for me. You always provide living waters for my soul, and I know that I can have some of those right now to drink from. I'll remember you from Mount Hermon, and I'll remember you from Mount, this little one, Mizar. Which, Mizar, nobody knows where that is. See, you thought I was going to say something real profound there. All I got for you is the word means little, from the little mountain. I'm going to remember that you're the God who cares about every little detail of my life. There's nothing that passes your gaze. A sparrow doesn't drop to the ground without you noticing it. And I know that you know the little things. It seems like such a small thing. But you know that this would be meaningful to me. And I'm going to remember how you've done those little things to show me your love. I'd encourage you to make a list of those little things sometime. One of our pastor friends years ago asked a great question. We were together, I think, for Thanksgiving. And he said, tell me something that God's done in your life this year that made you know that he knows you. Like, it's one of those thoughtful little gestures that only God would know about. And he did it just to show you, I'm watching. I see you, and my eye is on you, and my affection is towards you. Make a list of those things. What's that song, Count Your Blessings? That's an old song we didn't sing in my kind of church growing up, so I don't even know how it goes, but count those things. Keep them up. Verse 7, deep calls unto deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over to me. Deep calls unto deep. When we're willing to get gut honest with God, he ministers to us in that place. His depth calls to our depth and draws out that river of living water, like tapping into a well that's gone dry. You maybe have to dig a little deeper to get to the water. You might have to burrow in. Some of us are in that place right now. You got to burrow in a little bit deeper in that place of prayer. You got to burrow a little bit deeper in your love relationship with God until the living water starts to spring up, because it's been dry, but the water is still there. That's one of the things God spoke to me over those 4 months I was with him in the wilderness like that. You need a deeper well, son. You need a deeper well to draw from. You need to have a well that when it gets dry, when I send you into dry and weary places, you need a well that's not dependent on the rain anymore, but those subterranean rivers. There's something deeper for you. There's something deeper for some of you right now. The reason why you're feeling dry is because the Lord's letting you feel that for a little bit, so you'll dig in deeper with him and let his deep call unto your deep. Your spirit's hungry for it. Your soul is panting for the Lord. It's not panting for an answer to the problem right now. It's panting for the Lord. The thirst your soul is feeling right now, it's not about having that thing solved. It's about getting deeper in him. It's about becoming like invincible to the circumstances around. God's looking and raising up, and he's tapping us into something to make us people that could go into crazy places like he's done for the Hextals. He's got such a river of living water, such a depth in them that they could go to deadly places around the world and out in the open sing praises to God. Who does that? Crazy people, or people who know how to drink from deep wells. People who know that no matter what kind of literal desert I might be sent to, I know that I'm not going to run dry in this place. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. When we get in that place, we pour our heart out. We start entering into a thankful posture. During the daytime is chesed. Remember that word I shared with you? Chesed. All of his goodness during the daytime. And at night, singing the songs over me. He's singing his love over me. I'm experiencing him even when my cognitive mind isn't aware of it. One of my kids right now is having nightmares on occasion and has been having problems. So we've been at night just singing the song. And she asked me, Daddy, how do I keep that song in my mind and in my heart as I'm falling asleep? So we began to sing that song. And then she started to sing her own little song. And she started to sing the song that we were singing together. And that night she slept through the night. And it's about tapping into, hear what the Lord's singing over you right now. Get involved in that song. Let your heart be making melody even while you're asleep. And you'll be caught up in heavenly places. And you may not, you know, your mind's going to be filled with something very different. But the Lord's singing. There's some of us right now that are experiencing such heaviness like that. Just know the Lord is singing over you. He commands his song with you in the night. In that time when finally either you're up all night because you're restless about a situation, or you're resting at night and the Lord's restoring your soul as you sleep, whatever it is, he is singing over you constantly and rejoicing over you, even in the night seasons. I don't have time to... All right, so I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go around mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I will say to God, my rock. If you haven't said it to God, but you've been able to say it to a bunch of other people, I'd urge you to stop saying it to a bunch of other people and start saying it right to God. It's not the same thing to pour out our soul to other people as to pour it out to God. I think we need both. But to neglect pouring out our soul, and we say to God and get honest with him. I hope you do that. I hope you're dead spot on honest with God when you pray, because he already knows anyway. I realized a few years ago, it's the dumbest thing in the world to try to hide my heart from God. Like Adam and Eve hiding from God in the garden. What? For real? Like playing hide and seek with a 2-year-old. You know, you can't hide it from God. So why not just, he knows you. He called you knowing what you were going to do. He called you knowing that you would fail, that you would fall short. He called us sons and daughters before we came anywhere near perfection. And he called us. Pour out the complaint before God. Tell God, hey, what is up with this? This is about 14 Psalms out of the 150 in the book of Psalms, where the whole theme is David or someone else going, what is up with this? That's the summary of 14 Psalms right there. What's up with this? Where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? You're not alone if you feel that way. 3,000 years ago, people were writing that stuff. Everybody experiences that. The only one who has answers for the heart. We ask questions with our mind, but God has answers for our heart, which is really where the issues are happening. We pour out our complaint to him. Why are you forgetting me right now? It feels like you're not calling me to mind very often, God. And watch what happens after we pour it out to him. Verse 11. Where is your God, they say? Why are you in despair, my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and the help of my God. Put your hope in God. We get to that place where we're so thankful that God is with us. We focus our attention on him. Our heart gets in this posture where we can enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. We give thanks to him. We make music to him. We shout and dance before him. But where it says that, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Remember, I used to look at that like the key to coming into God's presence is to become thankful. As if God's got like the gates closed till you say thank you. And that's the magic word to come in. It's not like that at all. We come into his gates. And as soon as we step through, we're thankful that we have access to the living God all the time. The attitude of the heart when we've entered his gates, when we are intentional about saying, I'm going to present my entire being before you right now. The automatic heart's response to being allowed in the presence of God is gratitude. Can we stand to our feet?
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.